Philippians chapter 2, if you don't mind. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read some scriptures. There's going to be a few more scriptures that we'll go to, but I just want to try to anchor just some of the thoughts that we're going to go through tonight. And then at the end, William is going to come up and have just one more song of worship for us, and I would just like us just to corporately pray together. Is that okay? All right, so Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. So let's read along. I actually don't know what translation this is. I didn't put it on there, but it says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ." Everybody say united. "If any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. If your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant." Everybody say servant. "Being made in the human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Can we say amen for God's word? Amen. All right, so for a few things before I get into just really going through this, what we've just read is the theme of really the apostle is kind of laying out being a leader in the church, being a servant in the church, and what that looks like. You see themes like united, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. It talks about having the same mindset to being a servant, and that he humbled himself. And because he humbled himself, even to the death on the cross, he was given the name above all names. Amen? So the question would be, who are you becoming? That is pretty much where, if I can get this off of here, who are we becoming? So in New Year's, here's the thing about New Year's Eve. When I think about New Year's, and we always, you know, go through this in the coming years, is that you'll have a group of individuals, not just young people, but you'll have adults who are making these New Year's resolutions. And what happens is you'll see things like the gyms will be completely full. Why? Why are the gyms full? Because they're wanting to make changes. You're going to see people who are trying set on eating better. You're going to see churches actually see a spike in growth because people in a new year are more open. Let's just be honest about it. That's what kind of happens. And you'll see people who say, I am wanting to be different than I was last year, or that I am wanting to see change, or that I'm wanting to see growth in my life. There is only one question more important than who are we becoming today, and that question is, who are we becoming tomorrow? Can I get an amen for that? Okay, so that's really important, and I want to try to just kind of talk a little bit into the vision for the church going into these next few months, especially for the rest of the year, but I really hope that we can come out with something that we can be applied to our lives as leaders, and this is what I have been praying for all who lead and serve here at Harvest, and that is that there will be an awakening to the call of next level leadership, that we're getting better at what we do, how about this right here, that I have been called to make a difference, you know. And so I don't know if you've noticed, but we are growing. Okay, we are growing not just numerically, but we are growing in our tithes. There is a tremendous hunger to grow spiritually in our church. Has everybody noticed that? It's really amazing. People are looking for a place to serve. And I don't know if you know this, but from the mid-month of March into the mid part of April, we were over 400 every week. That's where we were. And then, in fact, on Easter, we were like 6 short, I think, of hitting 500. And what that did to me was that what Easter showed me personally, and it showed me as a church body, is that not only are we growing with people looking for their home to worship, that we are not fully prepared for this type of growth. I'm just being real, that's why I really called this, because I think we need to address this. And now, here's the thing is we did good. On Easter, we served the people. I believe everybody that was here on Easter Sunday had an amazing time. It was just that it kind of caught us off guard. So when you think of pipeline, anybody that's in the business world or real estate or anything like that, the pipeline means how you're going to put food on your table, because you sell a couple of homes this month, but if you don't have homes to sell a few months down the road, you're not going to have any money come in. So you build this pipeline. Well, believe it or not, most attenders need direction on where to serve. So when we had this growth, or when we have growth like that, it's going to be important for us as leaders to find these people that when they come up and they do say, man, I love this church, I'm thinking about making this my home, and I would, you know, is there home groups, is there a place to serve, that we just don't go, oh, wait, where's Pastor Brad? Oh, if Pastor Brad was here, we're doing everything that we can to make sure that they're not going out our back door. Amen? And so guys, check this out. And this will come from you. I believe this because we have amazing leaders in this church. We have amazing people that love to serve. Everything we do impacts people. So I have 10 signs, because out of the scripture, the most important thing that we have as leaders to make sure that we grab people and that people want to stay here is that they see a group of leaders that are united. And that's why I believe that in Philippians it's there, because it's for us to learn from and for us to apply. So 10 signs of a united team. The first one is this, is that morale is high. You know, you could have a very, very small church and their morale could be high. They might not be running 500 or running 1,000 people, but they love working together. They love doing what they're doing for the kingdom of God. The other one is this, is that energy is on tap. Okay? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a second, but that we're energetic, that we're excited about what we're doing. What God, for right now, look, sometimes we're in a place of serving and we go, man, how long am I going to be doing this? Well, until God puts you somewhere else or God calls you somewhere else, have the energy. Have the energy to serve and do what God's calling you. The other one is this, laughter is nonstop. And what I mean by that is just joy. You know, hey, let's be honest. When we come to church every Sunday, we're not feeling like laughing all the time. You know what I mean? So let's be real. We come in, though, once we get in, we kind of put on our church boots, tie them up, and we get into the mode of showing people joy. Amen? That's a key of a united team. The other one is this, is that serving is a joy. We're not leading from our heels, we're leading from our toes. You guys, you know what I'm talking about when I say heels? It's like, you know, where you get like, you're always like kind of on the defensive of what's going on in the church, but that we're ready. You know, we're on our toes. We're ready for the next question. We're ready for the next response. We're not caught off guard. And if we're speaking the same language, and if we're doing the same things as far as getting people into where that they feel comfortable. I mean, look, if somebody says, you know, there's one that's really easy for me. And let's be honest, I love the worship aspect of the church. So if somebody comes up and I just even hear them remotely go, yeah, I kind of play. I go, oh, come on. You know, if you, and they might go, no, I'm not that good. I'm like, come on, let's go. We're going to find out if you're good or not. You know, I'm going to take you to William. I'm going to introduce you. I want to get you plugged in. Somebody comes up and says, man, do you guys like have a home group? Say, come on. Is everybody with me? It's like, if you don't know the answer to the question, just be honest with them. Say, I don't know, but I will find out that answer for you. I'm going to find you before service is over, and I'm going to give you the answer for what you're asking. Is that good, you guys? So serving is a joy. Quickly is the speed. Come on, listen to what I'm saying. Quickly is the speed. It's responding. This is our church. Nobody knows our church better than we do. That we get them that quick response, that we're quick to love, and that we're quick to serve. And here's the other one, is everyone takes responsibility for the health of Harvest VA. Okay? That's one I think can rest on all of our shoulders there. How about tasks become missions? That this is my mission. I've accepted what the Lord's put before me, and I'm going to see it to completion. That's the thing about a mission, is you take the mission, what? To complete it. So we turn our tasks into missions. Here's I got three more for you. The eighth one is that people talk directly to each other. We don't do a roundabout. If we start doing roundabout, you know what happens there is that if we're doing a roundabout, I'm not responsible for it anymore, or no, he's the one that dropped the ball, I didn't. And then that can sometimes lead even into just rumor and gossip. It's a roundabout, but if we're talking directly to the people that we're talking to, look, I'm going to say this before I even get into this point later. Let me just say this. All leaders in a church, we don't have to be like going to movies every night together, but we're supposed to love each other and respect each other enough that we would say it to each other's face in a roundabout situation. Does that sound good? And how about this? Our identity is not found in defeat. We're not a defeated body. We serve the risen Savior. And we might have an off Sunday. We all do. You know, we all have them. I mean, I know that I've preached messages walking off going, what in the world? What did I just do? But I'm not defeated because I know who I serve. So our identity is never to be found in defeat. And here's the last one. If we are not careful, problems unchecked create more problems. So this is what I would say as leaders. I want to encourage you to do this. If there's an issue, bring it to me or Pastor Brad. Bring it to whoever's, you know, over you and your department. You know, make sure that the problem gets so that we can get into a staff meeting and address it so that we can fix it. I'm going to move on to this now because I've got four thoughts. But before I get there, one of the things that I just felt like the Lord said, I can't tell you how many churches that I have buddies that pastor that will come and they will talk about that they're battling division in their church. They haven't had a pastoral problem or nothing like that. It's just that within leadership, there's division. And one of the thoughts that the Lord gave me for us tonight, because as we grow, believe it or not, as we grow, we're going to have more servers and more leaders. Y'all with me? If we are not fighting for unity all the time, what's happening is we are tolerating division. Where can we start, Pastor Matt? What are some things we can do immediately to see growth in our own lives as leaders? Well, the first thought is this right here. We have to love each other. We have to love each other. It's not good enough to just like each other. We have to love each other. So just do me a favor. I know this is kind of corny, but just turn around and look at everybody. Turn around and look at some people. Put your eyes on them. Yeah, just look at them, okay? Yep. Guys, listen, church, we have to love each other. We have to. It's biblical. It's scriptural that we are to love one another. And if we are going to survive as leaders and people who are going to serve this people as we grow, we have to love each other. Pride has to go. Ego has to go. Past offenses need to be let go. We are not judges. We are leaders. Amen? And there is a reason we are working together. There is a reason why God has brought us all together to work together. And we just can't let division get in there. And the way that it is like you'll say, you know, if you honestly can't look at somebody in this room and say that you love them, then you need to go to your knees to God and deal with that for yourself. And if it's something that needs to be addressed with that person, the Bible says we need to talk to each other, right? Not a roundabout. We need to go right to each other. We got to love each other. If we don't, and this has already happened in the past year, you get people that will hear a story and it's not the whole true story, and the next thing you know, people are hurt, people are leaving, people are doing this, whatever. I don't want that creeping into our church, into our body. Amen? Here's our second thought is this. Point people to Jesus. Pastor Matt, what do you mean by that? Well, I say this right here. We have to invite people to harvest. Guys, listen to me. Invite, and keep inviting. How do I do that, Pastor Matt? Well, you can text. We can call. We can send invitation cards. We can invite people to home groups. We can invite people to awakenings. You can use your own story. You can use the gift of your voice. Invite, and be aware of when God has put you in a situation to invite somebody to church. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. My wife has got that game down. She's always looking for an opportunity to invite somebody to the church. If they stay around us more than a minute, they're getting invited to church. It's happening. I won't even be looking at it. Lori's already getting ready to invite them to church. She's reaching in her purse. I can see her going to get the card. Invite, invite, invite. We are the leaders of this church. If there's anybody that's going to invite somebody to Harvest VA, it should be us. Amen? So I'm challenging you with that. Here's a third thing. What can we do? Well, this is not a command. I'm not commanding you. I'm challenging you again, okay? I'm going to put a charge out to you, and that is our awakenings, okay? If you serve or are a leader in this church, you should make every effort you can to be at our awakenings. They're once a month. I mean, you're going to go 11 times. We don't even do an awakening in December, so 11 times in 1 year that if we as leaders and as servers, okay, we can make the point to be there, then as we invite, can you see these numbers multiplying? Can you see where, because listen, this is not about us. This is about people. Listen, I want people to come in here and get healed. I want people to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I want people to actually receive a calling for God that they didn't have before they walked in. You know, people that are hurting, that they'll actually have some relief. People are just struggling with some mental illness that might be going on, that God can come in and just bring some peace to them for a couple hours and that they can walk out with it. Amen? I like you sitting on the front row, dude. I can tell you that right now, man. I like that a lot. He's gonna have to sit front row every Sunday now. Yeah, he is over there, but I want him right over here. So, guys, if you are a leader and a servant Harvest, I'm going to just say it this way. Make our awakenings a priority. And I've already given you a charge for our Wednesday night prayer meetings, and I still want that to happen. But to me, that awakening is such a corporate, another corporate thing of where we do prayer, but we're also doing worship. We're also doing words. We're also doing, you know, anointing. There's a lot that goes on. And if there's anything to feel safe about bringing, like, even a non-believing friend, bring them to awakening, man. It's a vibe. It's awesome. It's incredible. The atmosphere is amazing, and that's something I like to see you do. If this is not your heart, guys, oh my goodness, I gotta. Please, guys, listen. I don't mean this in any rude way. I'm gonna say it. If this is not your heart, if this is really not your heart to see our church grow in any way that we possibly can, then maybe leadership is not what you're supposed to be doing with us right now. And that's okay, because it might be you just need to step away for a while, pray about it, and come back when you're ready, and you're ready to take the charge with us. You're ready to charge. You're ready to go to battle. So my heart is this, is that if you are in leadership and you are serving, please make the awakenings a priority. Can I get an amen for that? Okay, I love you guys, and I really do. So my last thing is this right here is, and I really believe that this is for everybody. This is including me. We have to lead from a place of life. If we're hurting, if we're struggling with our faith, financially, we're struggling financially, so we're depressed. You know, there's all these things. It might be a really hard thing to do is to lead somebody else with joy when we can just barely keep ourselves together. And so, guys, if we're trying to serve from a place that is dead, you are not serving. You're broken. If you look up broken and you look up this, there's a definition that says you're kaput. I don't ever use that word, but kaput means you're just done. You know, you're through. It's over. It just means it's like you're just canceled yourself out. It means you're non-productive. It means you're stagnating. I would say this, and I want to encourage you with this, daily. Give every day to God and ask His Spirit to reveal any places that are dead, hurting, or non-functional. I would say this, pray for life. Pray for a newness of life to flood into your heart, into your body. We need this. I need it. My wife needs it. We need this. Lori and I know when to pray for each other because sometimes we just exhaust everything that's in the tank and we can't operate from here. We got to be filled with His Spirit. Can I get an amen? Is everybody cool with me right now? Y'all still love me? All right. So I want to read you a scripture that supports what I'm talking about. You guys, listen to this. It comes out of Lamentations. Don't read a lot out of Lamentations, but it's a great scripture. And I'm using the Message. The Message is, I love this translation on it. It's Lamentations 3, 22 through 24, if you're taking notes. And it says this, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new. Everybody say new. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness. So no matter how many times we've got to go to him, he's there. He's ready to give it. He's ready to restore. He's ready to fill. He's ready to meet you where you are. He's ready to meet you in the lowest of lows. And it's new every morning. It's new with him every morning. The picture of spiritual health to me is those who are being spirit-led. You're being led by the Spirit. That means this. There's three things: that you're strong in the word, that you're daily in prayer, and that you find as much times as possible to be filled to the top with worship. That's a spirit-led life to me. Let's look at Psalms 19:8. This is another great scripture speaking of life. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Every day that he's going to give us insight that's going to increase where we were. Listen, you know what? There's times where things are so good with God, I just can't imagine that they'll be better. But yet he never disappoints. You know what I mean? That's it's like when we had, I'm sorry. That was Psalms 19:8. Sorry. I don't know if I said it or not. Okay. You know, we had, when Chase was born, I didn't know if there was ever going to be anything more amazing. And then Sky came along, and I couldn't think that anything else was going to be amazing. And then Ryder came along, and he was the best. I love you, Sky. I'm just messing around. I'm kidding. Everybody knows that Nall and Bear are most important. I'm joking. No, that's our dog. I'm kidding. Let me get back to my little talk here. This is what I believe that God is saying to us all, and I'm going to bring this to a close. And William, if you want to come back up, and then we're going to pray together. This is what I believe, is that we need to be united, that we need to be one in spirit and of one mind. The scriptures say it this way in Philippians, that we need to be of the same mindset, that we need to remain as much as we possibly can, remain humble before God, and that we do our very best, and this is one of my favorite parts of this, to be the very nature of a servant. Jesus himself did this. And if we can be as close to that, being the very nature of a servant, I believe God is going to help us help others that come to this church. Because guys, I'm just telling you, as long as the Holy Spirit is doing what he's doing, people are going to continue to come to our church. People who are hurting, I'm telling you straight up, and they're coming in, they're looking for a place that's safe. They're bringing their kids, they're bringing their families, and we've just got to be ready. We're meeting, I want you guys to be praying for us. I'm going to give you something to pray for. We're meeting on Monday with some individuals to talk about when they take away our trailers, we got a little bit of an uh-oh moment going on because we're losing some space. So we got to figure out how to use this church while we're growing. So be in prayer for us because we're looking to really get ahead of this curve before it comes across the plate. So be in prayer with us. I am praying this, that we will all leave from a place that people will always see Jesus. Here's the cost, you guys. I'm going to give you the cost of this. The cost is our obedience. The cost is you and I answering the call. We're not here for popularity. We're not here for recognition. I lead and I serve because I'm called to do so. Outcomes are God's part, not ours. Guys, we don't have to worry about the numbers and the outcome and all. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God doing God. We got to be there to serve. And lastly, if we make it about us, we talked about it today. If we make it about us, we will miss what God is trying to do. Amen. I want to tell you, before we go into prayer, I just want to personally tell you all that I am so thankful for what you do and what you bring to Harvest, because there's absolutely no way we do this without each other. I thank God every day that the Lord orchestrated Lori and I coming to this body, because you have been a 100% blessing to us and our family. And if we can even give even a percent back to you, I feel good about that. But what I feel the best about is that we're together, that we're united. Guys, listen, let's pray against gossip. Let's pray against rumors. Let's pray against dissension. Let's pray against vindictive behavior. Let's do this with love, Let's assume that position, the very nature of a servant. And I promise you, God is going to bless us. Guys, I really believe this. He's going to bless your bank account. He's going to bless your marriage. He's going to bless your home. And he's going to bless your spiritual life if we can just keep that same mindset of seeing people come to Jesus. I think about where I was before Jesus came into my heart, and there was a couple of individuals that pulled me in, and I am so thankful for that. Just took a couple people. And if we can do that for somebody else, man, that'll make my day. Amen? Let's all stand. Guys, thank you so much for coming in today.